Are you ready? It's time for On the Double with the Double S Express. Great sports talk and big time guests with Sean Wally and Sean Boyd on the Double with the Double S Express. Regulators! Mount up!
It was a clear black night, a clear white moon. Warren G was on the streets trying to consume some skirts for the E so I could get some phones rolling in my room.
What's going on? Show 93 of On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally coming at you from Broomfield, Colorado. Sean Boyd in the 253 Lakewood, Tacoma, Washington area. What's going on, Sean?
Hey, what's going on, Sean Wally? Of course, man, was that Regulators that I heard from Warren G?
Absolutely, man. Can't go wrong with that.
Hey, you know what? That is right on time. All things considered, Warren G will be in town in Tacoma at Jazz Bones tomorrow. Tomorrow night, I believe 7 p.m. for all of those who want to get out. And, man, he'll probably play Regulators, no doubt.
And that means you're going to be there, and you're going to find a way to meet him and get him on the show.
Of course, man. Of course. That's what we do. But, man, on that theme, Regulators, there's some people regulating in free agency, Sean Wally. There's a lot of buzz going on. Of course, in the Pacific Northwest, things are a little subdued. But, man, when you're talking about my neck of the woods in Northern California, there is some craziness going on as far as the free agency. And what I'm talking about is some people leaving in San Francisco. I mean, can you imagine this, Sean? We're talking about Frank Gore possibly heading to the Philadelphia Eagles or the Indianapolis Colts. Patrick Willis looking to retire. Justin Smith looking to retire. Mike Iapati to the Arizona Cardinals. Mr. Wally, say it ain't so. This is the team that is supposed to be, you know, vying for championships against Seattle and making the NFC West such a tough, tough division, and this happens.
Is there going to be anybody left to fill out a 53-man roster in San Francisco? I mean, they're bringing in Darnell Dockett from Arizona, but outside of that, it's an exodus by the Bay.
Yeah, and you know, there was even murmurs going on that Colin Kaepernick was being put on the trading block today. Can you imagine that? And of course, Trent Baalke comes out and he emphatically denies that. But these are some of the things that are going on because of the indecisiveness, the lack of trust there is in the front office. And boy, it is looking really, really bad in San Francisco. You know, again, just we're talking about a couple of years ago, this was a team that was looking to, you know, compete for the NFC West over and over and over again. And it's just troublesome across the Bay.
Yeah, it would be a huge salary cap hit if the Niners were to trade one Colin Kaepernick. And, man, it's just interesting how quickly Niners have seemed to fallen from dominance.
Yeah, you know, and so we'll see. We'll see what happens with these guys in the offseason. I know it's just the beginning, and a lot of big-time names are being taken off the board. But, of course, there's another team across the Bay that's trying to get themselves back into a winning tradition. Of course, they haven't had a winning season in, wow, since 2003, and that's my beloved Oakland Raiders. They signed Rodney Hudson as a big-time center from the Kansas City Chiefs, signed him 4 years for $45 million. And, of course, some of the big-time names that have gone by the wayside. Of course, Seattle is in on this as well. We're talking about Julius Thomas, where it looks like Julius will be heading down to the Jacksonville Jaguars, but there's murmurs that the Raiders are making a hard push. The Seattle Seahawks, of course, needing a tight end, making a push. But some big-time names, Ndamukong Suh heading down to Miami. But again, we're talking about the Oakland Raiders, so they're losing out on some of these big-time names in the beginning. Should they fret? Is this something that Reggie McKenzie should be nervous about right now?
Well, you don't want to necessarily spend unwisely and use all of your cap money on one or two players, especially when you're in the rebuilding mode and trying to get better and find the right pieces to the puzzle in Oakland. It's going to take more than one or two good players to get the Raiders back to 500 or better. And you have to build via the draft, and hopefully with his Green Bay pedigree, Reggie McKenzie will do that and, you know, have more hits than misses in the draft and also smartly signing free agents.
Yeah, you know, and again, this is the beginning of the free agency. And so, you know, I know that the Raider Nation is definitely chomping at the bit. They want to see big time names. Of course, there is, you know, Oakland has their back against the wall as far as arena issues are concerned or stadium issues. They're looking to get a new stadium in Oakland. Otherwise, Mark Davis, the owner, is actually looking at, you know, possibly Carson, California or Los Angeles. And that's something we haven't talked about in a while. But, you know, the Raiders are in play to possibly move to L.A. along with St. Louis and possibly San Diego. So there are a lot of things going on in Oakland that need to be rectified here. But first and foremost, with the free agency, it's starting out at a slow pace for Oakland.
Yeah, and that's something we can talk a lot about with each of our guests tonight. Big show. We'll set it for you here. First guest tonight, big-time guest number one, about 7:10, will be former Seattle Seahawk safety Jordan Babineau, current NFL Network reporter and analyst. And big-time guest number two out of Seattle, King 5 Sports, Chris Egan. So a big show here for show 93.
Yeah, definitely. We're going to talk a lot about football. Of course, there are some other things that are going on. And man, Sean, the Southern Conference Championships, and what I mean by that, the NCAA basketball March Madness is upon us. Man, I wanted to run something by you because this was a huge game that went down to the wire. And I know some of these mid-majors, Sean, that, you know, none of us really know anything about, but these mid-majors that are fighting for that last spot or that to punch that ticket into the NCAA, there was a game, Furman against Wofford in the Southern Conference. Now, let me tell you a little bit about Furman and how they made it to this conference championship. They come in, Sean, at 11-21 on the season. Can you imagine that? 11-21, 5-13 in their conference. So they're a sub-500 team all year. They finally put things together in the conference championships. They play Wofford, which is a top team, and Wofford barely squeaks by and beats Furman 67-64. March Madness is here, and I'm looking forward to seeing some of these mid-majors making it in. It's an exciting time.
That's the beauty of conference tournaments, and it's a shame that some conferences don't have them. I know the Pac-12 in the last few years recently finally went to one, which is great because it gives all teams a shot. Regardless of their record, if you're hot at the right time, you can get in the dance, and that's the goal. And then from there, you let the cards play out as they may. And it's going to be a great time in the Northwest for March Madness in the NCAA tournament, as there will be not one, but two host cities, Seattle and Portland, for the first two rounds of the NCAA tournament.
Now, you had mentioned that that's the beauty of it. Now, can you imagine if Furman beats Wofford? Let's say that they did beat them. That means Furman punches a ticket as a sub-500 team into the NCAA tournament, which means that Wofford, who actually was the best team in the conference, winds up not making it in because, let's face it, mid-majors do not get that second team in there. Is that actually fair for that team, meaning Wofford, to not make it in?
Of course it is, because they can't take that lesser team or that team that has a lower record lightly. And if they stub their toe and they think they got it in the bag before they even have the tip-off, hey, guess what? You can get smacked in the mouth, and you have to get off the mat and figure it out.
Yeah, you know, I just think that sometimes it's a little unfair when you're looking at a team like that has to win at all costs to get in, and you're looking at some of these Big Ten teams that are on the bubble, like the Indianas that can get in at 500 just because they're a Big Ten team. I mean, those are things that, you know, something to think about. But, you know, man, that was a great game, nonetheless. I was excited. I was on the edge of my seat, and I was thinking, man, will Furman pull this off and get into the tournament? They came up a little bit short, but, you know, that again, that's the excitement of March Madness.
And yeah, that's definitely a great thing that'll be happening in Seattle at Key Arena and Portland at the Moda Center, hosting the first two rounds of the NCAA tournament. And I was asked to work that by CBS Sports, but I had to turn them down, which rightfully so, which I will be in Europe. And they were totally okay with that, which is great. And a lot of our friends and coworkers will be working those events. And it'll be a great time for the host cities to get a lot of people into town to see the teams that they love and root them on, and great for the hotels and restaurants and good exposure for both cities.
Yeah, you know, it's a great time for, you know, to be in the Pacific Northwest. Of course, you're mentioning the NCAA's being hosted up here. You know, of course, the Seahawks doing an excellent job and playing some solid football and making it to the Super Bowl. And, you know, the Seattle Mariners, Sean Wally, the Seattle Mariners, Vegas has the odds on as of winning the AL, not just the AL West, but the AL altogether, making it to the World Series. And they have a great chance of winning the World Series, Vegas says as well.
Yeah, it's a great time to be a Mariner fan, and it's been a long time coming. 10, 12 years of nothingness in terms of the playoffs, not since 2001. So we're actually looking at 13, 14 years of drought. And yeah, it's a great thing that the ownership is finally spending the right money, not just spending money, but it's being spent the right way by GM Jack Zarensic. And they brought in Nelson Cruz to hopefully help out on the offensive side to go along with all-stars Robinson Cano and Kyle Seager. Things always been there. The offense has been a problem in Seattle, and hopefully that will get rectified here in 2015.
Yeah, you know, they have some young guys that they brought in, especially in the outfield. So there's a huge competition going on in the outfield, which is always good when you're looking to build your program. And, of course, the Seattle pitching is becoming more solid as well. And so I look forward to some great things happening with the Seattle Mariners this year.
And we've got more time later to talk Major League Baseball, but let's go out to the Chandler Reach Winery Hotline and welcome in big time guest number one tonight, and that is former Seattle Seahawks safety and current NFL Network reporter and analyst Jordan Babineau. Jordan, thanks for your time tonight.
Hey, what's happening, gentlemen? What's going on?
Hey, Jordan, thanks for being on the show here, man. And of course, there are some great things going on in the free agency we talked a little bit about earlier in the show. But one being Brian Maxwell heading to the Philadelphia Eagles. Did you see that one coming?
Well, as far as where he would land, you know, I think that was probably up in the air. But I didn't see Seattle tying in B-Max, you know, much of, you know, he's had a lot of success and kind of just been slowly but steady rising as far as his confidence. And, when you know, especially when you start to talk about this secondary with Earl Thomas, Cam Chancellor, and Richard Sherman, these guys seem to dominate the headlines. But Maxwell, he's been a consistent player over there for the secondary. And, you know, it's good to see that his work for the last few years is paying off, and he's headed to a place where he can maximize what he's done and been able to put some good film on tape.
Now, one of the things, Jordan, you are known as Big Play Babs all throughout your Seattle career, making some big plays, one making a big, huge NFC championship stop against Tony Romo and propelling you guys to the Super Bowl that year. Where do you see yourself as far as this Legion of Boom defense? I mean, do you see yourself fitting in as a cog with that defense as a player?
Well, you know, I mean, you put me on just about any team, and I'd be able to find my way and find my niche, and create, you know, kind of create my own lane to be able to contribute. But much of what I've done early in my career and the reason I was able to sustain the kind of career that I was able to, especially coming from Southern Arkansas, a Division II school, a free agent, and not to mention the team had just invested first and second round draft picks in both Marcus Trufant the year before, Ken Hamlin as well, and then my year in 2004 when I came to the Seahawks, Michael Bolwer was a second-round draft pick. So, I mean, as far as me being able to try to figure out where my place would be, it worked out because I was able to play multiple positions. I came in and started as a corner and then made my way into the safety position, but even playing the inside positions at the nickel and dime packages when teams would create or go to their passing packages and put more receivers on the field. I was able to sustain a spot on the roster because of my ability to play multiple positions and my understanding of the defense. I tell a lot of people, they say the more you can do, but it's not just that. It's understanding each of those principles and some of the different nuances that go into each skill as far as being able to get on the field and have success. They all play a little different.
That's the voice of former Seattle Seahawks defensive back Jordan Babineau. And Jordan, what would you say are some keys for guys coming out of college that might be lesser known, maybe weren't the top recruits and not at the biggest schools, to maximize their talent and be able to make it beyond the college level in football?
Well, I mean, one for sure is the opportunity. I was fortunate to get a call draft day by the Seattle Seahawks. Ray Rhodes in particular was one of the defensive coordinator at the time, and he and I spoke directly about what that role would entail, although I don't think it was very clear to him as well. It was more so, we would bring you in for an opportunity to show what you can do. And when you're coming from a small school, you kind of just want that opportunity. You look for an opportunity to kind of showcase yourself, with that chance that many, Division I athletes, don't get an opportunity to do. So, it was definitely for me, a great honor for, just to be considered first. And then once you get into the NFL or get into one of these OTAs, these training camps and these spring rookie camps and that kind of deal, and you're able to see that it's still football. It's the same game that you've been playing since a kid. It's the same dream that you've been having since 9 and 10 years old, when you're watching your favorite team and your favorite players, and then that confidence starts to build. There's nothing like a player taking the field with a lot of confidence, knowing that he has the ability to have the same kind of success at the pro level that he had at the college level.
From the Pee Wee level all the way through to the NFL, what is your proudest football moment?
I would say I'm most proud of the moment I have right now, to be honest. I can think back to the many times in which I've had success. And yes, we can talk about the late interception by Drew Bledsoe that helped seal a victory after the Josh Brown kick, the game-winning field goal. At that moment, that was my proudest moment. Sure, we can talk about Tony Romo and that wild card playoff game in 2006 here at what was Quest Field then. And that was my proudest moment then. But, my most proudest moment now is exactly where I am and what I'm doing now. My joys don't live in the past. My joys don't live in the future. And the fact that I'm right where I am with an opportunity to talk about football, on TV, talk about football to some of my teammates and kind of have discussions about best player talks and, what would make up a great team, a secondary, and things of that nature. Just being around the game at this very moment is probably my most proud moment, because I know everything that I did over the course of my 9-year career has positioned me for where I am now.
Jordan Babineau joining us here on the Double with the Double S Express. And of course, Jordan, you're talking about the NFL Network and your duties that you do there with the network. Are there any surprises that you've seen thus far as the free agency is concerned?
I'm sorry, I must have missed you. You said it again?
I'm sorry. Are there any surprises that you see or anything out of the ordinary as far as the free agency is going thus far?
No, you know, I mean, I said that if Dominican Sue wouldn't be in a Lions uniform. I said that if Dominican Sue had an opportunity to go to another team where he could be a force in the locker room and really kind of reshape his career or his image, you know, I thought that that would be a nice play, a nice career move for him. I mean, when you certainly consider some of the things that that surrounded the Detroit Lions and as much of their controversy, it's been centered around Sue. And, you know, with an opportunity to go to another team, you know, he can revitalize his image. Still a great player, now, don't get me wrong. I think probably now with the most current news as I scan, you know, the Twitter feed and the news feed over the course of the last day or two is hearing Patrick Willis is ready to retire. You know, I mean, that's certainly something that probably caught a lot of people by surprise. But, you know, there's, I mean, some of the things that what we've seen, you know, Andre Johnson being released, Darrell Revis not, you know, the Patriots not picking up Darrell Revis' tag. And then, of course, the Broncos, you know, the biggest issue was what are they going to do with the scenario with Peyton Manning as far as his dollar amount being so demanding, and both the Thomases, as good as they are, both Julius and Demarius, who would be the priority? You know, some of the things that we've talked about in the discussions that we've had on the network has been more so centered around you would definitely want to franchise tag a guy like Demarius Thomas because of his ability. You know, it's rare to see a guy like D. Thomas and what his size, his stature, what he's able to do when he has the ball in his hand, even far beyond Peyton Manning's years, if this, you know, in fact, would be his last year. This is a guy you definitely want on your roster and be able to kind of build moving forward, especially in Gary Kubiak's offense.
Now, of course, a lot of these offers that are going on, they won't be solidified until tomorrow, of course. You had mentioned the Thomases. Let's talk about Julius Thomas. There were murmurs that Seattle was looking at him at one point. They were talking about the Oakland Raiders. Of course, he being from Stockton, that would be a great fit for him to come home. And then he picks Jacksonville. What do you think was going on in his mind there as far as making that choice?
Well, take a look at what Jacksonville has. I think Jacksonville is probably one of the toughest teams, you know, despite where their record are. And I say that more so because of my knowledge and awareness of the coach, head coach Gus Bradley, being here in Seattle, having spent some time under his defense and under his hand. You know, I know the kind of coach that he is. I know the kind of, even far beyond his coaching, I mean, just the person and his enthusiasm for guys to want to get better, his enthusiasm to get the most from his players, and get the most from, you know, his team. And then you take a look at a guy like Blake Bortles, who I believe who's one of the up-and-coming, uprising young quarterback superstars. So if you can gel that kind of success with a guy like Blake Bortles and you merge it with Julius Thomas's talent, I think that the AFC South better watch out for what the Jaguars may be looking to build, because this team knows how to get to the quarterback defensively. They know how to play good ball on the other side of the ball. Now, it's the offensive production that really lacked and where they were unable to put up those kind of points. But I think you'll see that kind of growth in Blake Bortles the second year.
Jordan Babineau joining us here on the Double. And Jordan, after your playing career ended, what was the transition like for you getting into the media and TV and work with the NFL Network?
Well, one is, you know, it was all strategically planned well before, you know, my last season of 2012. You know, the NFL in the off season offers, or the player engagement offers, a number of programs that players can tap into. One being Broadcast Bootcamp, which I was a part of at one point. So, you know, that was, you know, part of, you know, the planning in place and the preparation for life after football. And also, you know, too, I mean, I can't undermine the fact that I graduated with a bachelor in communication. You know, so, I mean, you know, this was, This wasn't just a close your eyes and throw a dart at the wall and let's see where it lands. I knew where I was going. My entire time while playing and kind of setting this up. The Titans kind of made that available for me as well. They offered some of the back behind the scene, inside the locker room type training camp video, a journal that they allowed me to do for video. And then most of it just came from talking with these kind of interviews. You got to just maximize your relationships with people. You treat people all the same, whether it be the president of an organization or the custodian who tends to vacuum, the locker room. I mean, for me, it was, no one was any higher or demanded any more respect than just treating people like people. And I think, as far as being a good teammate, I kind of embody what that is to kind of help the team progress. I can offer something to anyone, and make it better, in my opinion, because that's just how, that's just good living, it's just life, and I think there aren't enough people recognized for what those qualities are and those qualities that most people possess, especially because the work ethic is still there. I mean that won't change. So there's always drive and motivation to get better. But the transition, it was fun. It was, I guess the biggest issue I had too was waking up in the morning and not having an itinerary for the week in my locker to create my own schedule. So I guess that was, probably the biggest issue, that I had too much time. But even for me, too much time, it means I'm spending more time on the golf course. So always time to work on that short game.
Now, Jordan, I have to know, during the playoff run in Seattle this January, you were doing live shots from the top of the Space Needle. What was that like to be up there before the sun was up and to see that view?
Yeah. Well, for one, I've never been up there, and only, a handful of people have ever been up there. I would love to see how many people would like to take that tour with me. The first time I went up there earlier in the year, last summer, I took the stairs. Did you guys see that? Did you have a chance?
Yeah, that was great.
Well, thank goodness for editing, because that is a long hike up those stairs to the top of the Space Needle. But that was probably one of the coolest things that I had a chance to do being here in Seattle.
Well, awesome. Jordan Babineaux, thank you so much for your time and insights. And check him out on NFL Network as well as NFL.com. Jordan, appreciate your time, and we always like to have you on and get your insight on the NFL in the future.
Yeah, I'll be back on the network this Thursday and Friday for you early risers, 3 a.m. to 7 a.m. and NFL AM. You can check me out there.
Thanks for being on, Jordan.
All right, peace, guys.
There goes Jordan Babineaux of the NFL Network, former Seattle Seahawks defensive back, with insight on all things NFL and what it's like to be on the NFL Network.
One of the great things about Jordan is that, he explained his humble beginnings as far as being a free agent, an unrestricted free agent, and being given a chance by Ray Rhodes and, taking advantage of that chance. What I can relate to that. My uncle playing for the Oakland Raiders back in the day, and he came in as an unrestricted free agent. And it's tough, man. It's tough to create that identity and get things going. But you can tell that Jordan has a level head on his shoulders. Of course, a communications major, doing some awesome things with the NFL Network. Coming back from the break, we're going to have guest number two from King 5 Sports, sports anchor Chris Egan. So keep it locked in. You're listening to the best sports talk on the double with the Double S Express. If you
What's my image?
What's my image?
What's my image?
At Images Barbershop and Styles, you get the best cut, the best design, and the best styles in the Sacramento area. Plus the affordable price, along with the fun, family-friendly atmosphere, you'll walk away with a look of satisfaction and the feeling of a new you. Do you have your image?
We have ours!
Images Barbershop and Styles, located at 10040 Bruceville Road, Elk Grove, California, Suite 140. For appointments, call 916-271-0218. That's Images Barbershop and Styles.
I'm Chris Walls, and I'm a truck driver from Missouri. For 13 hours a night, I sit in my truck and I drive. Out of boredom, I'll stop and eat. If I'm not doing fast food, I guarantee there's a bag of chips open on my dashboard. Along with that, I'm good for about 4 liters of soda a night. That was all until Andro 400. I started out 4 months ago weighing 341 pounds, and since taking Andro 400, I have dropped 45 pounds. I'm sleeping better. There's no cravings. There's no excessive thirst. My knee pain went away. I've had some lower back issues, and I've noticed that that went away, and I can only contribute that to Andro 400. One thing that Andro 400 said on the radio ad says it attacks belly fat. Well, let me tell you, it did. I've lost 6 inches. This product really does work.
So guys, if you'd like to experience similar results, then get Andro 400, the safe, natural, and inexpensive way to boost your testosterone. Go to andro400.com. andro400.com.
Who likes the inconvenience of car repairs? Not only do car repairs take time and money from you, but can you even trust your repair shop? Nate, Dave, and the team at Platinum Automotive Services in Tri-Cities, Washington are honest and trustworthy, and they take great care of your vehicle. From the basic oil change to full engine rebuilds, they do it all. Like the Platinum Automotive Services Facebook page for a shot at a free oil change. Platinum Automotive Services, platinum service without the platinum price.
Guys, are you having trouble getting to sleep? Would you like to know the secret to getting a great night's sleep every night? Bruce Feeney discovered this secret, a new, all-natural sleep aid for men. Listen to what he says about it.
Hey, you know, I tried a product recently called Love to Sleep. It was a great product, helped me a lot. It took 3 or 4 days for it to start working in my system, and I fell asleep very quickly and got up rested. And if I got up during the middle of the night, I ended up coming back to bed and fell right back to sleep. I would recommend it to all my friends.
If you, too, would love to get a good night's sleep every night and wake up feeling great in the morning, try Love to Sleep, the new sleep aid for men. Your satisfaction is 100% guaranteed. And because Love to Sleep is all natural, it's completely safe with no side effects or risk of dependency. Go to lovetosleep.com. That's lovetosleep.com.
Let's get back to great sports talk with big-time guests on the Double with the Double S Express.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally with Sean Boyd and big time guest number two, Chris Egan of King 5 Sports. Chris, thanks for your time tonight.
Hey, anytime with Double Sean. I'd love to chat with you guys. There's obviously plenty to talk about right now going on in the great city of Seattle.
Oh, man, there are a lot of things to talk about, Chris. But first and foremost, let's talk about, man, spring training that's going on down in Peoria. Seattle Mariners today. Coming up with a huge victory, even though it's a spring training, but it's a very good victory, 4-3 against Cleveland. Looks like there's a couple of guys that are starting to find their strides. Brad Miller, for one, having two home runs today.
Yeah, I think when you talk about spring training, I think you have to be careful to measure the victories and to measure how the team is doing. But you do want to look at things like you just talked about, Brad Miller, and that's, you know, one of the big storylines down there is the battle at shortstop. Who's it going to be, Brad Miller or Chris Taylor? Brad Miller, a great day, had a couple home runs today, showing some of that power. We knew we could hit. The big key for him is, can he play defense? And Will McClendon needs that shortstop to kind of do his job. So it's going to be an interesting battle, and it's going to be a good one. I think a lot of people thought Chris Taylor had the early edge. He was on fire in Cactus League play. But Brett, a great effort today. Like you said, two home runs against Cleveland. That was good to see. And then the catcher, Mike Zunino, so much concern about his bat last season. Just 1 point under the Mendoza line, finished the season at 199. He also had a home run today, so that's good to see Mike Zunino coming through with some power. I know the big concern with him was strikeouts last season, but he worked on his swing a lot during the offseason. So a couple positives from today for sure.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned Mike Zunino, and of course that was a mammoth home run that he had today. One of the great highlights of today's game as well, Taijuan Walker trying to find his way into the rotation, doing a very, very good job early on.
Yeah, he pitched a good game today, even made a nice little defensive play right in front of shortstop, showing that he's got some skills on the mound, and that's another battle. You know, you talk about spring training down there, and it's about competition, it's about battles, and I've been down there for 10 years now, and I've never seen so much depth and so much competition. Obviously, you have certain positions that are ready to go. Second base, Robinson Cano, no question about first base, Logan Morrison. You got Kyle Seager at third base, Austin Jackson at center. But there's a lot of competition from left field to right field to shortstop, and then you have to look at that fifth spot in the rotation. Taijuan Walker, Roelenis Elias, you know, Erasmo Ramirez somewhat in the mix as well, and it's going to be an interesting battle as Elias, I think, and Walker go head-to-head for that fifth spot. And, you know, the winner, you're going to go to Seattle. The loser down at Tacoma to pitch for the Rainiers. But Taijuan looking great today. We'll see how Roelenis comes through in his next time up on the rotation.
Chris Egan joining us from King 5 Sports. And Chris, what is the vibe like down there in Peoria with the Mariners? You said you've been there for 10 springs now. Is it any different than it's been in the past?
Yeah, it does feel a little bit different. I think, you know, every year you leave spring and you're feeling pretty good about the team. But this year there's just something a little extra special. And I've mentioned it a few times. The guys just walk around with a little swag, a little cockiness. And then there's another team in town that does a lot of that, the Seattle Seahawks. I'm not quite crowning these guys the World Series champs yet, but they just have a little bit of that cockiness to them. And Lloyd McClendon said day one, I want these guys to be cocky. In baseball, you need to have confidence. And there's no better way to have confidence when you walk on the field and you've got five All-Stars walking on the field. Felix Hernandez, Fernando Rodney, Nelson Cruz bringing 40 home runs to this roster, Robinson Cano, and then Kyle Seager just continues to get better and better each and every year. Lloyd McClendon says, I wouldn't be surprised. There's a lot of MVP talk, and people mentioned Robinson Cano. They mentioned Nelson Cruz. But in his mind, he believes that Kyle Seager is going to be somebody that's going to be holding up an MVP trophy very soon. So when you have five All-Stars like that, you can be a little cocky. And that pitching rotation, I tell you what, so far so good down there. Last year, much different story. You had Iwakuma, who was injured. Taijuan Walker was in and out with a shoulder problem. We didn't even know the name Danny Holson because he's been out for the past couple of years. And this year, everybody's healthy. They're rearing to go. I mean, you got Felix. You got James Paxton. He had a little mild injury early on, but he's throwing bullpen sessions again. Hisashi Iwakuma's been looking great. And then you've got the battle, Roelenis Elias. You got Taijuan Walker. And then you have Jay Happ, who was picked up in that trade to Toronto with Michael Saunders, who's doing the job down there kind of quietly, just doing his role. So it's going to be a fun team. And then, you know, throw out maybe the best bullpen in baseball with Fernando Rodney as the ace in the bullpen. So it's looking like a great year on paper, but as you guys know, paper means nothing once they get this thing going on April 6th against the Angels at Safeco Field.
And Chris, on paper, this team looks legit. Is there any reason outside of injury they can't win 90-plus games?
You know, my only concern, guys, is as I look at this team, and you're right, on paper they do look fantastic, and I just mentioned all these great All-Stars and stuff like that, but you still have a lot of guys that need to step up and need to deliver. And we'll start with the leadoff position. Austin Jackson, he can't have a year like he did at the end of last season. He'll tell you, he was horrible last season. You're going to need the platoon outfielders on the left and the right side. You got Ruggiano and Seth Smith on the right side. You got Justin Ackley and Ricky Weeks on the left side. Some of those guys are going to have to hit the baseball. I mean, that's just the fact. Mike Zunino can't bat 199 again. If you're you're hoping to win the AL West. I mean, this is a division that still has the Angels, still has the Oakland A's. So some of those role players are going to have to take their game to another level. So that would be my only concern is your leadoff guy and your number two hitter. 3, 4, and 5, love them. And, you know, my maybe surprise of spring training, we'll see when things get going. He hasn't been on fire down in Cactus League play, would be the first baseman, Logan Morrison. Had a great offseason. He needs to stay healthy over there at first base as well.
Chris Hegan joining us here on the double with the Double S Express. And Chris, we talked a little bit about the Seattle Mariners and the excitement that the Mariners franchise has. Of course, there was something that came out the past couple of days on the odds of the Mariners actually winning the AL and winning the World Series, and it seems astronomical. What is the big difference here between last year and this year?
Well, I think you're bringing in a big bat. I mean, they went out and they got Nelson Cruz, 40 home runs. You're putting him into the middle of this lineup. You have a healthy pitching staff. I think that is so key. And for the first time in a long, long time, and Jack Cerenzik, you know, he's had a roller coaster ride since taking over as the general manager when Bill Bavese was let go, but he finally has depth with this club. I tell you what, I'm excited to go watch the Tacoma Rainiers because there's just so much depth on this team, and they're going to be a great team down there. I mean, you got Jesus Montero looking like a Hollywood movie star now, you know, minus 45 pounds. You've got youngsters by the name of Patrick Kiblahan and DJ Peterson who are hitting the heck out of the ball. These are young guys. These are the future. They're going to be down there in Tacoma. You've got some big arms, the bullpen that are going to be down there in Tacoma. And for the first time, you have that depth. And what does that depth provide? Well, it provides competition for the guys on the Mariners. They know they need to compete. They need to do their job if they want to keep that job.
Now, of course, Chris, there are a couple of teams that you mentioned prior. You were talking about the Los Angeles Angels down in Anaheim. And, of course, the Oakland A's that remain to be a consistent ball club.
Yeah.
The big wild card in the AL, if you will, because it just seems like Billy Beane is constantly getting rid of all-stars instead of keeping them, but yet they seem to be a team that is in the hunt year in and year out. Do you see it any different this year?
No, I'm right there with you as well. I think, you know, if you go on paper, a lot of people going back and forth with the Angels, but anybody that's watched baseball over the past decade, over the past couple decades knows when it comes to the Oakland A's, you can never count them out. Somehow they find a way, they surprise you, they'll bring up a player out of the farm system. They've been doing it ever since they had a team. I saw the Oregon, the Timberjacks, they're no longer there, but they just find guys out of nowhere. They continue to do this. So I think you cannot count out the Oakland A's. You know, the Astros are getting better. Are they up at that caliber? Not quite yet. And then the Texas Rangers, they've just been hit with injuries after injuries. So I think you're going to look at the Angels and the Mariners, you know, battling for the AL West. And I can't even believe I'm saying it. I mean, you were talking to Las Vegas Odds. We were talking in the King 5 Sports Department about you have the Mariners, by many, favored to win the AL West. You have the Seahawks favored to win the Super Bowl. You have the Seattle Sounders favored to win the MLS Championship. I mean, just somebody pinch me. I mean, when has this happened before that you have all these teams? I mean, if the Sonics were returning, I mean, we'd have rainbows and candy dropping from the sky. But, I mean, it's just glory days are here again. And I'm just sitting back and I'm enjoying it because it's going to be a fun one. And you guys know there's nothing better. A sunny 70-degree day, Safeco Field, the top is off. And I'll tell you what, that place is packed. It's going to be rocking. So hopefully the boys can stay healthy, Cactus League play, and come on up to Seattle and get things rolling.
2015, possibly a magical sports year in Seattle, and going across Lake Washington to the Renton Seahawk facility. Free agency getting set to begin. There's word that Byron Maxwell probably out of town, signing in Philadelphia. Will Blackman coming back to Seattle to add to the secondary, and then a couple of Seahawks probably staying put, Mike Morgan and Anthony McCoy.
Yeah, I think we knew the Byron Maxwell move was going to happen as soon as that Super Bowl ended. Byron said, you know, hey, I'd love to come back to Seattle. This was right after the game, right after one of the toughest locker rooms I've ever had to enter into, by the way. And, that, you know, quick side note on the Mariners and the Sounders on why we need these teams to do well. It's just to kind of get over that hangover that is the Super Bowl. And I know some people may never get over that, but I'm walking down at spring training and people keep asking me, they should have ran the ball, right, Egan? They should have ran the ball. I'm like, I'm trying to watch baseball here, guys. Come on, let's move on. But it's tough to move on. Everybody wants to talk the Super Bowl. They're the number one team in town, the Seattle Seahawks. And yeah, Byron Maxwell cashing in is going to make big time bank. I mean, congratulations to him. You can't blame the guy for taking the money. He's going to be heading off to Philadelphia. They bring in Blackman. They bring in McCoy. You know, they're not making the Ndamukong Suh-type pickups, but this is a Seahawks team that really doesn't need to. I mean, they're doing everything right. They're getting the guys back they want back. So I think everybody knew they were going to lose Maxwell, and they also, you know, tight end Zach Miller let go. So we'll see. You know, John Schneider has a pretty good track record. I don't think anybody in Seattle is fearing what's going to happen during the offseason, just looking forward to the draft and seeing who he goes after.
Is tight end Julius Thomas a pipe dream or an actual possible reality for Seattle?
Well, I think we can always dream a little bit. And the thing with the Seahawks is you just never know. I mean, John Schneider will just all of a sudden, you know, who would have guessed we would have got Percy Harvin, and then who would have guessed we would have just gave him away pretty much for nothing. I mean, by the way, Percy Harvin, if he officially is let go, that's for a six-round draft pick we pretty much gave him away for. So, I mean, it's just incredible what Schneider has done and some of the moves they've made, and they're not afraid to do anything. So that's a heck of a pipe dream. And when you watch that Super Bowl and you watch a tight end like Gronkowski just take over a game, you know, it'd be a nice little filler piece to have for the Seahawks. I think everybody will tell you they need a nice tight end or a big time receiver. So one of the two wouldn't be bad. I usually say you can never have enough offensive linemen, but you know, we'll see.
Chris Egan joining us here on the Double, and man, talking about these Seahawks, of course, Mike Morgan and Anthony McCoy being signed. You know, one of the things that with Zach Miller being released, you would think that Julius Thomas would be the likely odds-on favorite. It sounds like the Jacksonville Jaguars are actually a beeline for him to play down there.
Well, sure, Gus Bradley. You know, he's fighting now. He's past the honeymoon stage. Gus Bradley's trying to keep a job, so he's going to have to go out and make some moves. You know, and you need a little offensive weapon. You can have as much defense as you want, and Gus knows that, but you, at some point in the game, you're going to have to score some points. So, smart move by Gus. You know, I think what maybe concerns me if the Seahawks don't get a tight end is you guys know, I don't know, I'm no Mel Kiper here, but the tight ends aren't deep. They are not deep in this year's draft. So, you know, if Anthony McCoy and Cooper Helton, if you're happy with that combo, then so be it. I think, like you guys, I think you got to go after you know, a bigger name and a bigger body and help this team out, but and help Russell Wilson out as well. But sure, it's nice to have number 24 beast mode rolling back into town. I think everybody was a little nervous that Marshawn was maybe pondering retirement, and you never know with Marshawn Lynch what he's going to say, if he says anything, and what is he going to do. But I think once Seahawks Nation and the 12th man heard that beast mode was coming back, it was like, okay, everything else is just icing on the cake now. Whatever happens this offseason, we'll be fine. We got the beast back, so we'll be good to go.
Yeah, Chris, that was one of the things that I wanted to talk to you about, is what were your thoughts and how important Marshawn Lynch is for him to come back and play in Seattle. Of course, two more years. That is definitely something that the fans and the Seahawks organization are welcoming with open arms.
Well, covering this team pretty closely and being at all the road games and all the home games, I thought it was just the number one thing that had to happen. And I don't think there's a lot of people are going to disagree with me there. But I tell you what, I was a little nervous when he walked out of the locker room after that tough loss, and he didn't get the handoff, and I kind of saw him put the headphones on and walking off. I kind of thought to myself, is this the last time I'm going to see Marshawn Lynch walking out of here? Because you just never know with that guy. And he is the heart and soul of this team. I know Richard Sherman and Russell Wilson and Earl Thomas get so much fanfare, but this team goes as Marshawn Lynch goes, and every player in that locker room will tell you. I mean, he just runs with such a hard passion that I've never seen before. I mean, you look back at some of the games and you watch him and, you know, the yards after contact, yak yards, you hear that so much, and it's just absolutely incredible after this guy gets hit, the motor just turns on even more, and he just turns and turns, and you see the guys on the sideline, you know, watching this, and they just get inspired, and they take their game up to another level. And this is a guy, you know, he doesn't need to win his battles with the media. He doesn't need to, you know, wax on in some press conference. He does his work on the sidelines, and on the field, and he's an inspiration to that team. And you know, that was just a huge, huge, huge day. We actually had a reporter at King 5 that tweeted out a photo. Alyssa Hahn tweeted a photo from the Oakland airport, and it was Marshawn and his agent, and on a flight to Seattle. And once I saw that picture, I said, "Oh, good golly, hallelujah!" He's heading home to Seattle, and I'm sure Paul Allen's waiting with a big checkbook back in Seattle for him. So it ended up that day he re-signed. So good news, I think, for Seahawks everywhere.
Yeah, definitely, definitely great for Seattle, and of course, beast mode back in Seattle. Now, hey, Chris, I heard that you were at the Key a couple of weeks ago. And you're taking in a Harlem Globetrotters game, it sounded like.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I'm a little, you want to talk about some venom. The mystery coach of the Generals comes in, and, you know, the city is just hurting from the Super Bowl loss. I mean, just hurting. I mean, people, you still got kids crying in the street, you know, and these kids are coming to try to kind of take their mind off that Seahawks loss. They're coming to watch, you know, the world famous Harlem Globetrotters, and this arrogant, pompous coach of the Generals just kind of walks out of the court, and he grabs the microphone and he just starts talking and all this trash, and you know, he's taking shots at the Seahawks, and I see little kids crying, heading for the exit. You know, it was just a tough scene all around. You know, I'm glad to see the Globetrotters got the victory. I was a little concerned. You know, I thought the streak was coming to an end in Seattle, but, you know, all is well again after that great victory by the Globetrotters. But you know what? I was excited to see Sean down there. It was awesome. He was in his prime. Let's just say that.
Well, Chris, it was great that you could make it out. And yeah, you know, that's the entire goal, is to take down those Globetrotters. But yeah, execution on the court isn't always there.
Does your audience know that you are the coach as well? I didn't want to ruin that there.
Yes, yes, they do. It's something we've talked about a little bit here and there, and it's but yeah, it's definitely a fun journey,
just a little, Chris.
Yeah, you look like Phil Jackson out there. I mean, you were in your place. You were looking good.
Hopefully, minus the gray hair.
Maybe Pat Riley in his prime with the Lakers. Was that get a little more grease in the hair maybe next time, Sean?
Yeah, put a little more grease in the hair and slick it back, Sean, instead of the spiked. I mean, you look more prestigious.
Yeah.
Noted, guys. Thanks for the tips. Chris Egan, thanks for your time and insight tonight. I know you got to run to coach some baseball tonight. Have a great time, and we'll look forward to seeing you on King 5 Sports.
Thanks, Chris.
Hey, thank you, guys. Always a pleasure. Have a great day.
You too.
There goes Chris Egan in and around Seattle, all things Seattle sports, King 5 Sports. You can find him on King TV and King5.com. Sean Boyd, great friend of the program.
Oh, man, it has just been an awesome, awesome time to have Chris Egan on the show. And, of course, you know, talking about the Mariners baseball, and yes, it is, Sean. It's supposed to be a great year this year, and I'm looking forward to seeing the Seattle Mariners and, of course, the Oakland A's battling it out, of course, with my Northern California ties. Should be a great AL West this year. And, of course, talking a little bit about the Seattle Seahawks and some of the things that are going on there. Always good to have Chris on the show.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a fantastic show, not only with Chris Egan, but who can forget Jordan Babineau, former Seattle Seahawks safety and now NFL Network reporter, giving his insight to all things NFL.
Yeah, and of course, talking about the Seahawks, his former team, and some of the great things that are going to be happening and things that have happened in the offseason, no doubt about it. It's definitely a great show.
Well, Sean, that's all she wrote here in the United States of America for yours truly. Off to Germany tomorrow night. So we'll see if and when I can get up at what would be, what,
3-4 in the morning Germany time to be on the show live. And, you know, we'll see if maybe somebody can fill in for me a time or two, and definitely see if I can set the alarm and make those shows and still be on the double from Europe. Holy smokes.
Yeah, man, you've done a great job. And, of course, Chris was kind of funning with you a little bit as far as the villain role that you play. Of course, people that know you off the court know that that is not who you are. But I know that you kind of love those boos coming from the fans, even when it came from the key in the Pacific Northwest.
Oh, man, it's awesome, because that's the role I'm playing, and that's what I'm supposed to get, is that reaction. And so when it happens, it's great, and I get to live it up a little bit and ham it up with the fans and hopefully have them enjoy their time at the Globetrotter game.
Yes, and so, man, what is this, number 93, show number 93?
Correct, 93. We're getting closer.
Man, we're getting close to 100, which I know that you will be on the air for sure for our 100th show, man. So that's not even an option or a question at all, and I look forward to that. That should be coming up here in the next month or so.
Absolutely. About 7 weeks away, planning big things for show 100 right here on the double with the Double S Express.
So, yeah, man, no, show number 93 in the books. I know that you're enjoying some great weather over there in Colorado, getting ready to head to Europe. And, of course, yours truly still in the PNW, the Pacific Northwest, the 253 to be exact. Lovely weather. It has been great since I've been up here, man, and I look forward to this weather continuing. Great things going on in Seattle, as Chris Egan was saying, with the Mariners, the Seahawks, and, of course, who knows, an NHL team and maybe the Sonics coming back. We'll talk about all of that kind of stuff in the weeks and the months to come. Show number 93 in the books for Don Newsom, the engineer. Sean Wally heading to Europe. I'm Sean Boyd. You've been listening to On the Double with the Double S Express. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to On the Double with the Double S Express. Join us next Monday for some more great sports talk and big-time guests. On the Double with the Double S Express.